rolling.
Peace, world, all our upgraders. I'm Cameron Rock, son of the sun, I'm the one. I'm here with CJ, the day slave, finishing. How you doing, bro?
Finally, man, it's been a minute.
Yeah, man, the world is giving up too much to talk about. Like, you heard about that zombie deer virus?
No.
Bro, so they had a zombie virus.
Uh-huh.
It was affecting deer. Evidently,
okay.
People ate the deer.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then it's like, yo, it's, they have, the mainstream media name is the zombie deer virus or some shit like that.
Uh-huh.
But there's another technical, more medical term, but it's like, it's gross, man. I hope this is not what they're
So if you ingest for. It, you get sick or whatever. Even though
so
I would think it would be interesting. I thought when you cook something, it kills all the germs in it for the most part.
I guess it's like, not venison, it was jerky. So maybe it's because they're drying it.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Some of the pathogen was preserved. But all I'm saying, that's just one of the stories that's on our headline. We got, you know, we kind of shooting off the hip, six shooter, pim, pim. But like,
Wild Wild West.
You know it, bro. So this is fresh off the presses. You already know President Trump, he's dealing with some criminal charges in New York City. So evidently, he got hit with 88 charges that came from this criminal case. They didn't list those charges, but here's just an overview. So for the hush money in New York, the active state case opening, this is concerning 2016 election-related payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. You know, he pled not guilty in this. He pled not guilty to classified documents in Florida for federal election interference in D.C. He pled not guilty, and also in Georgia, they're trying to charge him in, for how do you say, he was indicted with 18 other election-related charges. And the thing is, what I find it ironic is they're trying to hit him with election interference, right? They're trying to charge him with it, but in doing so, it's almost like election interference because he's in the middle of running a political campaign, which costs money. But it's like they're trying to drag him through the course, which takes time and money in a way to fight the campaign. And it almost seems desperate at this point. Before we came on, we were talking offline, you're kind of saying how you feel criminal charges should be a disqualification for running for the office?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at it just in general society, like for you to be a financial advisor, I would assume you can't do any credit fraud or identity theft or anything financial to get that said position.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we not apply that to our public servants who are in charge of making laws that affect your life? Like, essentially, when these people get in office, they're writing laws that affect your life. That's very important. So, and we know standards from him serving in the Air Force.
Mm.
You could come in with certain things. Now, they made waivers for stuff,
yes,
depending on your scores and all that. But I'm looking at it from a presidency standpoint. I feel like we need to crack down on qualifications, like at least a background check. You can't have any pending investigations, like, or stuff like this. You would get disqualified for.
I would push back hard as a motherfucker. Because I have pending investigations and everything. If I want to run for president, like, that's not going to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
But another reason I push back is because of political prisoners. And as we mentioned about sitting presidents using, how do you say, the Department of Justice, using the FBI, misusing, rather, to oppress their political opponents.
That's fair.
I could totally foresee, how do you say, a scenario where you have a presidential candidate sitting in jail, still running a campaign for president of the United States because his or her political or opponents are trying to oppress them.
But then people that go to jail can't get out and vote in most states.
Yeah, but the president doesn't need to go out and vote. He just has to have people.
But
they just have to have people vote for them.
I get what you're saying, but that's the point I'm making in general. Like, we're not holding these people to the same standards, in my opinion, as the average citizen.
I get what you're saying, because it's a very, I don't want to say dangerous job. It's a lot of responsibility. Yeah. It impacts hundreds of millions of people. But, like, again, the standards were carved in stone and with the Constitution. So to deviate from that, that means now we got to get constitutional lawyers in there and dig out and start cutting shit up. And then I dare say when these things happen, rarely are they for the good of the people when you dick around with the Constitution.
Okay, but at the same time, what is our whole platform based on? Upgrading America,
absolutely,
correct?
Absolutely.
So with time, we need to upgrade the Constitution. We need to vote on these things.
So what I would put in there, you know, is like maybe have some more grounds for impeachment for removal from office. Like, yo, you do this and that, they're like, yo, we gonna get you. Like, we don't got time for that.
Yeah.
But like, as far as saying, no, you can't do that because you were born in New York. No, you can't run for it. Well, you just putting barriers to entry. I like that you have to be born in this country.
Yeah, that's
you have to live here.
I'm
for
good with that.
Years. That should never ever change.
I'm good with
when
that.
When you got foreign and folks coming in and they're trying to switch stuff up, folks with a rule I would put down: you can't have two passports and be the president of the United States. No dual citizenship. I would argue that. But as far as
that's
like,
an interesting point.
This man, President Trump, is until he has been gone, received due process, gone through trial, he's essentially an innocent man.
So, and I'm not disagreeing, I understand how the justice system works, but also at the same time, considering what is going on, it's almost like he should, and this is coming from the GOP side, they should tell him to step away from the election and get that shit finished and put somebody else in his place.
That's what I would think they would do. So I'm seeing it from a grander scale. Trump talked a lot of shit about how he's the only one who stopped World War III and things of that nature. And to some extent, I believe him. I believe his rapport with Vladimir Putin can greatly shift the tides of the conflicts in Ukraine.
I don't disagree with that.
I believe his standing with China. They know he's going to be a tough mother lover. Like, that's going to influence how China moves on. Joe Biden, Grandpa Biden.
Yeah, Sleepy Joe, yeah, I agree. You know, he's horrible too.
And it's like, who won't donate it? Who won't allocate a single dollar to protecting our border and letting millions of people just walk on sleeper cells, terrorists, cartel members, human traffickers. Come on in. Come on in. I'm going to get to my theory on why he's doing that. But, like, China don't give a shit. If he has another 4 years, they're going to piss napalm and ordnance all over Taiwan and then probably do their imperial expansion as well. So, from a grander scale, yeah, I could see Trump being a far better fit than Biden. What's ironic is that we're in the same situation that we were in 2020, right?
Essentially.
Where it's like, everyone voted Biden just to beat Trump, just to get, so they couldn't get Trump. Here we are again, it's like the polar opposite. Our folks who formerly voted for Biden are gonna vote for Trump just to get him out.
This is other things I was thinking about as we're talking about this, right? You running for president. Just with your situation, I can almost guarantee you wouldn't get elected. Say you're leading the polls every day. They would find a way to destroy you for you not to become elected or to run. In my opinion, that's what they would do.
But again, it's...
And I'm gonna throw one more thing in. Let's be honest. It's also a white male in America. We can't ignore that elephant in the room. They are given a way bigger latitude to do shit like this. And I'll give you an example recently in the governor's race in Florida. mm-hmm. with Andrew Gillum when he was running for governor against Ron DeSantis. DeSantis, granted, he had like a pending investigation, all this stuff, but nothing DeSantis was proven. Gillum.
Okay.
The lengths they went to make sure that man didn't get elected. Now, I don't know how he would have ran Florida, right? Mm-hmm. Misplaced votes, all this stuff. They derailed him the whole time. Mm-hmm. He's qualified. He can run. Meanwhile, DeSantis gets away with, oh, some votes missing in South Florida, 50,000. Guess how much he wins by? Like 50,000 votes.
Interesting.
So I'm watching how they destroyed that man's political career within that election season because he was this close to winning and he was challenging this guy.
Thing is, and why the strategy that I propose for an independent, you run to a party, you're fucked. You're bound to the party.
Yes.
Like, you're bound to the rules and everything. You can be sacrificed at will. That's just the game.
True.
That's the game. But if you want to run independent, it's not the long haul. It's not the long haul. It's to run independent, mm-hmm. I believe, in 2024. Kennedy, he's taking the wrong approach. He came in too soon. Because it's like...
You think he came in too soon or too late?
Too soon. Because it's like...
I think he messed up. He didn't start off as independent. He started Democrat, then switched to independent.
I don't even think that hurts.
Okay.
I don't even think that hurts.
That's my
opinion. What I'm telling you, what you have to do for a third party independent candidate mm-hmm. is sit back, watch, eat your popcorn. Let all the candidates eat each other. But at the last minute, the very last minute, you have to make noise. You have to shock the whole fucking country.
Okay.
I don't care if you have to set yourself on fire. Don't. Like that one gentleman, I don't recall his name, he just did that outside of Trump's shop. Notwithstanding, if you make enough attention, you get enough attention, enough focus, raise enough energy, people really vibe with your message. Then at the last minute, before they can strategize to destroy you, you can go. I'll give you an example how this would work. It may not work for everyone. Let's just say, I don't know, we'll use The Rock as an example. He's not affiliated with any major parties, right?
As far as I know, he was kind of hinting like he's going to vote Democratic this election, even though I really believe he's a Republican.
So let's not use Rock.
Nah, but just use him because he has the cachet. Just use him for that.
Okay, so we'll use Rock. He got the juice. People know who he is. If he made an announcement, I don't know if he made a grand, like rappelled from a helicopter or some shit doing it. But he got the attention. Let's just say 2 days before the election. And people are like, yo, I love what he's talking about. Because remember, when you get that juice, that wave is for a couple of days. Like, people are on your dick, they're riding it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and then announce right before when your popularity is up, and then you could sway a lot of votes that way.
But this is the thing. I get with the guerrilla style campaign, mm-hmm. right? But it's when it comes to the electoral college and all that shit. It's that part. It's that money in those PACs on both sides, the super PACs and Democrats, because you saw what they did to Bernie.
Thing is, I suppose that's where an independent really tests the democracy. Because it's like, in theory, if you're familiar, we did write-ins. So it's like a write-in to our upgraders is, literally, you just write the candidate's name. So if 75 million people wrote Rock on their ballots, how they would have the 100 million, 200 million, whatever.
Yeah.
They would have to honor the people's request, the electoral college or not. You're going to make, I dare say, you can start a civil war. If you deviate from the
good movie, by the way,
which I am very excited to get to watch, and then we're gonna dissect it on our show. But if you want to say any thoughts on the movie, by all means.
I will say, based on our program on how we're wired, when you go watch it, don't look at it from, try to go with an objective view. of the movie. That's the biggest thing I would tell you to do going into it. Because the title gets you, the trailer gets you, but going with an objective mindset on watching it.
Hearing you say that kind of sounds like there's a catch now. It's like, oh yeah, the title gets you.
Because I was amped up. I was like, yo, like, oh, I can't wait. And my brain, you know, I'm going off of our program. Like, yo, we talked about all this stuff. So what would it look like seeing how it play out? This, you just got to go in expecting the unexpected, but not going in with thinking of what you think it's going to be. It's a really weird dynamic.
So it's like, from what I understand, the story revolved around some wartime reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where the heck they were, but they come back to America and it balls deep in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I recall there being an airstrike, like something about California and Texas joining forces.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, from what I've seen, it looks like a pretty dope movie.
I will say this, it's beautifully shot. I'm a nerd for this stuff. And I would say you are too, with some cinematography and photography based on how you move.
A little bit.
But I'm definitely a nerd for how they shot. It's beautifully shot. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm looking to that.
But what else we got?
No, I mean, as far as from the Civil War perspective, I'm looking forward. I'll do my best upgraders to try to watch it this week.
Yeah, I took notes on it. So
we can get into it. So I had a privilege of listening to a gentleman on TikTok, and he was talking about Iran's strategy with, with the Israel strike. And before I listened to him, I was a little, I don't want to say disappointed, mm-hmm. but I was looking at Iran like, you guys are some street performers, like actors and shit. Like, mm-hmm. And I say that because based off of, recall the Soleimani strike, mm-hmm. I believe that was under Trump's administration.
Yeah.
And then they retaliated by like hitting a garbage can in the middle of like some base in Iraq.
Yeah, I kind of remember
and
that.
And I was just like,
because we were covering that actually.
We were covering because everyone was like, oh, World War III, y'all niggas gonna get drafted. But like, that didn't happen. But anyways, again, their resolve on that, and I'm grateful that it was, it wasn't World War III, but it wasn't, they talked a lot of shit and they didn't back it. So I figured they were doing the same thing with the Israeli strike,
mm-hmm.
that happened. But this gentleman broke it down, like, more or less, they launched all their old drones and missiles and stuff like that. So it exposed a lot of vulnerabilities, and it also depleted a lot of ammunition from Israel. I don't know how the Iron Dome works, but I do know how a CRAM works. You're familiar with a CRAM?
CRAM. Not particularly.
So my understanding is like, it may be 30 millimeters, but it's like a minigun.
Okay.
It sounds like
Yeah.
And it's like, it looks like a laser. It's all tracers and shit. But it, like, when missiles and stuff, rockets are coming in, it shoots them down.
Oh, okay.
It sucks because it shoots them into flaming fragments and they make it all over. And we have a special guest, Azzy Baby.
What's up, Azzy?
How you doing, kiddo? I didn't mean to disturb you. We're filming a podcast. But anyways, so their strategy was to do that, to expose vulnerabilities, have them expel a lot of their resources. And if Israel strikes back, they're, again, as I mentioned, the resources have been depleted, but they can also launch strike with their newly acquired intel and their Iran's latest technology.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that was pretty brilliant. What are your thoughts?
When I listened to that clip you said, to see that Iran is playing chess was par for the course, because you got to remember their historical reference. They're part of the Persian, Iran is Old Day Persia, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
So they were pretty powerful back in their day. Would it be a part of the Ottoman Empire? Or the Persian? Would the Persians ever have an empire?
Like Alexander the Great time?
Yeah, just check real quick for a historical reference. Either way, in the meantime, while he's checking that, Iran, I think like mathematics and all this stuff comes from that area, so they are smart people.
Like, oh yeah. So it says, Persia had several empires.
Okay.
The most notable, the Achaemenid Empire, founded by Cyrus the Great, 6th century BCE. The empire was the largest history, stretching from the Balkans to the Indus Valley. Subsequent Persian empires include the Parthian Empire, the Sasanian Empire, which also ruled over. Yeah, so they were not an Ottoman Empire. I don't know what that I was talking about.
Okay, so I'm just using that for historical reference. Like, they're not a dumb people. And they know they have to move strategic based on what's around them.
They're a powerhouse of the Middle East.
Absolutely.
And it's like, again, they should be considered a formidable force, and that's, I don't know, like, you've mentioned it a whole bunch of times that we should come to some sort of agreement.
Absolutely.
With them, and
I know
they seem like they got a lot to offer.
Yeah, they do. I mean, if you look, I think, was it 1953, around that time? We used to go over there for vacation. I think there was trade, everything. Everything was opened up.
It's a very beautiful nation.
Absolutely.
From what I see.
And so, between us and the British getting involved in their affairs for the oil, and wanting control of that, obviously, that's where it all flipped. And then they're talking about, you know, you had the Ayatollah and all these people taking power. But I mean, if you, we talk about it on the program all the time. If you think about it, you're invading a people's culture, a way of life. We won't let somebody do that to us here.
Absolutely.
Once again, upgraders. As Americans, we're talking to our American upgraders. You won't let China come in here and tell us what to do. It might be doing it through money and other ways, but they're not going to fully just come over here. Hey, this, no, we're going to look at them like they're crazy.
China knows that better. That's why they have them. Work through more cooperative, how do you say, policymakers, not mentioning any names.
We're just trying to hope that it doesn't have beasts from the Middle East explosion over there with all this stuff going on, because it does affect us, whether people like to believe it or not, and that's why we talk about geopolitics, because we're all tied together.
We really are, and it's like, speaking of the Middle East, you know, I'm a little perturbed about the latest aid package. It's going to Israel, and it's going
to Ukraine.
And I was even more disturbed in seeing our lawmakers wave Ukrainian flags when the bill got passed. So I'm thinking, like, is there some sort of kickback?
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. It's some benefit. We don't give money without some kind of benefit, some kind of resource.
I'm talking about to the individual lawmakers. It's almost like they were at a sporting event.
Yeah, it was weird.
And it's like they're cheering for the opposite team. But, like, you're wearing another team's freaking jersey and stuff. It was very appalling. But I'm curious, like, what type of tangible kickback are they giving? Because they were very adamant about that bill. It's not like, yeah, we're saving lives. It's like, oh, yeah, you're getting that money.
So let's go ahead and prognosticate or speculate, because that's what we do on the Upgrade America podcast.
You know
what? I'd be curious to see all the defense stocks when this passes on Wall Street. Your Raytheons, your Lockheed Martins, your Northrop Grumman's.
But those, if we know this, then the American people know this, so they too can exploit, you know.
Yeah.
There has to be something.
I mean, I know that's part of it, but it I do agree, it's something deeper. That part I don't know. It can't be just campaign contributions in their war chests and stuff like that. It can't be just
that.
It gotta be more.
You look at, and granted, again, Nancy Pelosi, she made quite a bit of money during her tenure as a speaker, you know, and they have Twitter X/X accounts where you can track her portfolio, meaning everyday Americans can make the same trades as Nancy Pelosi. And you buy into,
you know, she got insider trading in her home. So,
and notwithstanding, if you can watch her portfolio move and move accordingly, but I still feel there is a level of corruption that we cannot see
on the
outside, and there benefits from it, because it's like you cheer, you wave a Ukrainian flag while our border is so vulnerable, while we're wide the heck open, and I'm holding back some F-bombs because I'm holding my beloved daughter, but I want to touch briefly, want to rant why I think the border is wide open. And it's, I put it to you this way, it's like, you slaves are out there crying that you want to raise the minimum wage, and they're doing it. But they're not going to do it for long, because the businesses don't want to do it. They'd rather bring in all this illegal labor, the folks who are comfortable with, oh, $7 an hour, no problem, man, we get it done. They'd rather have these folks do it than to pay somebody $20 an hour. Florida probably being the biggest recipients. Like, y'all want slaves. Y'all want cheap slaves. Y'all want people out in the sun, like, breaking down rocks for $3 an hour. Like, and the American, average American ain't gonna do that. And so you're like, no problem. Just bring on the illegals. But I believe labor is part of the reasons why what the federal government is turning a blind eye on it, even trying to intervene with local law enforcement in Texas that's trying to secure the border. Like, there's some sort of incentive that we're missing, and I believe it's that. What are your thoughts?
It would go to the sayings that we always hear in conspiracy land in Americans, the deep state. But you gotta kind of think about it. Like, everything you're describing, why are they allowing stuff? Because we're not a country to allow stuff like that. So, you're leaving the border open with all these threats, right?
Drugs, human trafficking, sleeper cells, terrorists, what, dirty bombs, what have you.
And it's crazy because then you're passing this package for three different countries. And they intentionally did it that way because they know Americans are mad about this stuff getting passed. And as soon as I saw all three, I was like, oh yeah, that was definitely intentional.
I think it's, again,
in part arrogance too.
I know.
What's up, Azzy?
They don't know what they're doing, Azzy baby. We need to ask why we're doing the show, to tell them, like, yo, get your stuff together. But again, if by some miracle Grandfather Biden wins the 2024 election, I will, that's when I'll say, okay, we're pretending. We pretend that we have elections. We're pretending we have democracy. And we're pretending that we're free. But all these FUs to the American people, if this guy wins, then I get it. I'm like, we're no longer...
I guess the practice of democracy is no longer applicable. And we're, I mean, we already kind of covered other forms of government that we're pretty much under. I think plutocracy is by the rich and wealthy run the country. You have technocrat, I think. Techocracy, whatever, however you pronounce it. Yeah, something like that. So you have that going on, which I think is a mixture of plutocracy and technocracy. Because if you look at our richest billionaires, they're all in tech for the most part.
Okay.
So that would make sense. Thank you, Azzy. Yeah, it's very frustrating as an American, especially as a veteran. We've seen stuff that the average American hasn't seen. I think it's very frustrating.
I think it's a little frustrating too. And
that's not counting daily life for Americans, like rising food prices, inflation, getting jobs, dealing with Thank you, Azzy. Dealing with all these everyday things, all these everyday struggles, child care, like astronomical things of that nature. So to see these packages get passed and not upbraiding America properly. Yeah, that's why we do this.
Definitely.
I am sure. Yes, ma'am.
And it's like, it's a big slap at the American people's face, and it really makes me wonder who these lawmakers are working for.
Yeah, and then the other thing we can discuss really quickly is for anybody that protests this, American citizens in particular, understand that any other country puts their citizens first.
America, stop doing that.
Yeah, so I know we're the country, land of the free and all that, home and opportunity, but our citizens come first. So what else we got left? I think we one left. Okay. Well, it looks like we're coming to an end on this episode.
Okay, Caleb. You want to talk to the world?
You want to say anything, Azzy?
Say what's up, world?
Azzy.
Want to say hi to everybody? We're broadcasting.
Say hi.
We're broadcasting right now, kiddo.
Yeah, that, she doesn't agree either with that package being passed.
You feel me? But folks, we appreciate y'all tuning in. This is a little ad hoc episode. We're getting back in the groove. But really, we got to hold our lawmakers accountable.
Yeah.
And I know it's just cliche, vote like your life depends on it. But I don't know. I say 2024 perhaps may be the last election. We should still vote just to test them. Just to test it. Make sure it's working. And if it's broken, then we know we really got to upgrade America.
Cool. Oh, yeah. NBA playoffs. I'm so excited. This is like my favorite time of year. So throwing that out there for all you sports fans that are upgraders. Get ready for the summer. Summer's coming. We're here in Florida, so hurricane season starts next month. Which is a normal passage of life, rite of passage for living here.
Well, that's what I wanted to touch on, but I really didn't. I fell off my radar.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai was underwater, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That was nuts.
So right? You already know my theory on that. Because they've been playing with that. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. China is doing something similar, and China is now flooded, too. While America is no angel, I'm just curious how Floridians been doing it. We are by Cape Canaveral, because I don't got my kayak yet.
I don't see us doing it, because, I mean, we're just so used to it here.
Yeah, we have a pretty natural weather pattern.
Yeah, it's very natural. So, we'll see you next episode, Upgraders.
Yeah. Say bye, Azzy baby.
Alright.
Bye, world.
Oh, good job.
Alright, peace, Upgrader.
Peace.